This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we've reached night number 16, and alhamdulillah, half of the month we've fasted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us, and the best of the month remains. The second half is of course the better half, and so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength and the ability to succeed in what remains of this month, alhamdulillah. Before we begin, inshallah, just another question received from one of the sisters. And, you know, many of the sisters, they feel very despondent and they feel very sad, especially when their monthly cycle comes during the month of Ramadan, especially here towards the end, back end, when we want to really increase in ibadah, we want to push ourselves through more salah and more reciting of Quran. And so they feel very left out, because not only can they not fast in the day, but they cannot perform salah even in the evenings during their monthly cycle. And subhanAllah, it must be very demoralizing for the sisters. And for us men folk that would usually go to the masjids for Ramadan, we realize how fortunate it is to have a special place that you go to when you make ibadah, and there's no disturbance, and you can really be focused in your ibadah. And in many ways, we're very selfish. We just assume that the housework and the kids, and you know, life continues even in Ramadan. It was many times our wives, our sisters, our mothers that saw to these things, and while we, I'm using inverted commas here, we could not be holy and make our own ibadah very selfishly. Ibadah is in many forms, and our mothers, our sisters, the sacrifices they make to facilitate everyone else to perform ibadah, that in itself is a reward, and it is an act of worship. It might even be more sincere, it might even get more reward for doing that. But as for the sisters that are not able to form the ritualistic form of ibadah, and remember, it is not out of your doing. So the reward is written for us, insha'Allah. We know the hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that whoever had a routine of worship, so it was your routine maybe to perform a tahajjud, or your routine to fast on a Monday and a Thursday, and because of some illness or some travel or something out of your control, you are unable to continue with that worship, then the pen continues to write it for you. Then you get that reward as if though you had done it. And subhanAllah, it might be the case, as some scholars have said, it might be the case that when Allah writes an ibadah for you, then it is in the perfect form. Whereas if we did the worship on our own, we know it's not perfect. You know, as we fast during the day, we do little mistakes here and there. Whereas when Allah gives you that ibadah from Him, then it is complete and it is perfect. So sisters, do not feel left out at all. The reward is written for you, insha'Allah. And when you make up those days outside of Ramadan, you will get the reward as if you fasted in the month of Ramadan. And then of course, remember, there are multiple forms of ibadah. As we said, there is the ritualistic form of ibadah in terms of, you know, fasting and prayer. You can continue with your Quranic recitation. So even in your hayd, yes, you may not touch the mushaf, but you may recite using a glove or using a cloth, touching the mushaf, or using the screen now. So using your phone and not touching the text. So you can continue with your khatam. Of course, dua, you can continue making dua. You don't have to be in the state of wudu to perform dua. Adhkar, you know, making as much subhanAllah as you can. And this year, as we said, this is a very strange kind of year where we have to find new ways of making ibadah. We're not in the masjid anymore. We can't congregate as we did. And so it requires for us to keep up what we can of Taraweeh, what we can of the month of Ramadan in our own personal way. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges the sincerity. So someone who says, you know, I would have been in the masjid, the sister might say, I would have been performing my Taraweeh from Isha for another hour or so. I'm not able to perform Salah. So what I'm going to do for that hour is just sit on my Musalla and say subhanallah for 1 hour. That subhanAllah might be even more difficult than standing in salah, and that is a form of ibadah. Remember, you can also recite the English translation as well, the tafsir. You can learn, and of course supporting your family is an act of worship. I understand very, very fully how a sister must feel during this time, but do not think that you are excluded at all from the reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not shortchange anyone, and Allah is the most appreciative. It is that sincerity and spending that time in connection with Allah what is important. So Allah grant all of us the best, and to make the most of these 2 weeks that we have left. May we make this the best Ramadan. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. We continue the tafsir of Surah Yasin. You know, we're in the middle of the fourth section where Allah is speaking about the events of Qiyamah. He first mentioned the resurrection and how everyone will stand before Him. And then Allah jumped, almost skipped the events of Qiyamah for the believers, and mentioned the rewards and the enjoyment of Jannah, and what there is of Jannah, of having play and amusement and being excited with all these different activities. Jannah is filled with shughl. You'll be occupied with fun, and of course you'll be relaxing and eating and speaking to your company of your wife, your parents, your children. All of us will be together in Jannah. Ameen. But of course the greatest and the pinnacle of Jannah is to have proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see him on a weekly basis and to have a conversation where Allah says salam. He actually speaks to the people of Jannah. Subhanallah, there is no greater reward than that. May Allah grant it for us. Yeah, in Cape Town, usually ayah salam, salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim. We recite that ayah. Usually find people when they recite Surah Yasin, they repeat this verse. Of course, it's not meant to be repeated. This is really, if you want to take the most beautiful verse of the entire surah out, it is that verse to receive that salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as many scholars have said, it is also a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making for us, that salam, that peace be upon you, that peace be upon all of us. May Allah grant us that we have security in this life and security from all the terrors of the life after, and may we enter Jannah and be near him, alhamdulillah. Of course, it is the other side of the coin. There are those who will not attain this reward. Inshallah, we'll talk about these people now this evening. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in verse number 59, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but stand apart today, you criminals. As if the Allah is now separating, so as Allah mentioned the reward of the good people and they're going to Jannah, is as if though the good people are being admitted to Jannah, and then Allah says, wait, stop, for those of you who are not befitting, those of you who are criminals, stand one side, you are excluded from this. And so we return now to the events of the day of Qiyamah. So we're now back at Qiyamah, before the believers go into Jannah, the criminals are separated from them. Who is saying this, stand apart today, O criminals? This could be either the angels, or it could be Allah himself. Imtaz, wamtaza, means to get away or to move away from. So as those criminals, those mujrimeen, those wrongdoers, separated themselves from the believers, from the good people in the dunya, they will also be separated on the day of Qiyamah. So why did Allah first mention the events of Jannah and then come back to Qiyamah? It is to show the criminals what they have lost out. Those who did wrong things, they lose out that great reward. And also the reward, the previous ayah spoke about salam, peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means they are separated from that peace. And therefore what is going to come to them, Allah protect us, is something terrifying, is not going to be peaceful. The word mujrimeen, mujrimun, yeah, a mujrim is someone who committed a crime, but not only is he a criminal, he has been convicted of the crime, meaning he's been found guilty. So this is really after the judgment has taken place, after the sentence has been passed upon them, there's no longer any more debate about it. They have accepted the punishment, and now this is what's going to happen to them. Allah protect us. Allah subhanahu continues, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُرُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Allah says, did I not instruct you, O children of Adam, that you should not worship Shaitan? Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. Allah himself is speaking, of course. And again, this is after the questioning, after the deeds have been weighed and the sentence now, those who have successful have succeeded and those who have failed, the questioning, have now received their sentence, and each one is on their way to be punished or to be rewarded. And so Allah now speaks to those who have failed and those who are on their way to be punished. Allah says to them, did I not tell you, O Bani Adam, not to worship Shaitan? And how did Allah remind us? I mean, how did Allah tell you? Someone may say, how did Allah tell me? Remember right at the beginning of the surah, Prophet says, لِيُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا, that I am here to warn a people, that many, many anbiya, this is the warning, that Quran that you're holding in your hand is Allah speaking to you, speaking to me as a warning. You know, there are consequences for the way we live our lives. Allah says, did I not warn you against Shaitan, that he's a clear enemy? So who is Shaitan? Of course, the word Shaitan is a generic term. So this is the first time in the surah a character like Shaitan appears. Who is Shaitan? Shaitan, as we said, is a generic term for anyone who really is removed from Allah's mercy, who is disobedient to Allah and is actively working against Allah. All of us are sinners, we all commit wrong, but then there's this group of shayateen, not only from the jinn, but even from mankind, that are mischief makers. They want to mislead others, and they cause corruption wherever they go. As they who have anbiya, who are trying to warn and trying to guide people to the straight path, they are actively working, calling people away from the straight path. So these are shayateen. Of course, when Allah speaks about the shaitan, he is speaking about Iblis, who is the arch shaitan, and he's the first of those who are of our enemies. And Allah mentions, Ya Adam, in fact, this is the only time Allah mentions a Nabi by name. You won't find Nabi Musa or anyone else mentioned in the surah. Allah says, O children of Adam. And why is Adam mentioned here? Of course, right at the beginning, the first lesson we learn, and as you read, the first story Allah presents to us is the story of our father and mother Adam and Hawa, and how they were misled out of the garden by Iblis, how he had planned from the beginning, from before we were even created, his intentions against us, and his mission was to mislead us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that Shaitan harmed our parents before, and he has promised to harm us, so why do we continue to fall for his tricks? Allah also uses the word to make ibadah, ta'budu shaitan, that did I not tell you not to worship worship Shaitan. Now, many of us will say that, we're not very good people, we're sinners, but we're not Satanists. You know, when you understand the word to worship Shaitan, you imagine bowing to Shaitan. And this is very clear to show you that ibadah is not just making sujood. Many times people will say, I don't worship someone besides Allah, I only bow to Allah. There are other ways of worshipping. And so, as the Prophet ﷺ says, they are those who are the abd, the slave of money, and the slave of the dirham, and the slave of, in another ayah, Allah says, the one who took his hawa, his desires, as his ilah, as his god, or as his deity. Making ibadah is not just worship. As we spoke a minute earlier to the sisters, ibadah is not just salah. Worship is who you are devoted to and what you are in servitude to. The word abida comes from a slave. So who you are enslaved to. Some people, subhanAllah, they are enslaved to their jobs or their family or their money or to social media, may Allah subhanAllah protect us, to their desires. They just follow whatever they want and they live a life purely devoid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is their ilah. Every single person needs to take that moment and think, what is it that I am worshipping? What is it that I am focused on? And so Allah says, many people, they've taken shaitan as their ilah. And we just took some extracts on a side note here. If we look at Iblis and his promise to mislead us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, when Iblis refused to bow to our father Nabi Adam, he stood up to Allah and he says, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ I swear by your might, لَأُخْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ I will surely mislead them. He took a vow. Iblis is swearing by Allah. I swear by you, O Allah, by you and your might, I will do everything I can to mislead the children of Adam. And then he says, then I will come to them from in front of them and from behind them, from their right and from their left, meaning to mislead them, and you will not find most of them grateful. So he links those that he will be able to mislead are those who are ungrateful to the blessings, unmindful to Allah's signs, that he will make that his life's duty to mislead us. And of course, Iblis, when he made a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to make a dua, and he made a dua, Ya Allah, allow me to live until Qiyamah, and Allah accepted this dua. And so now that he's got this lease on life, he, instead of returning back to Allah, he instead became further and more arrogant, and his animosity to us is so severe that he will rather go to Jahannam so long as he could take many of us with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that at the end of the questioning, so perhaps right here at this junction in Surah Yasin, Allah has now spoken to the believers that have gone to Jannah, and then those who have lost themselves and failed, they are now being addressed by Allah. And Allah is saying, did I not tell you, warn you against Iblis? Iblis will also get a chance, and that is like a courtroom, to make a statement. A'udhu billahi. So he's going to make a statement on the day of Qiyamah, and there's actually in the Quran the sermon, the khutbah of Iblis. And so Iblis will address all those who have the sentences upon them, all the mujrimeen, and he will say, and Shaitan will say, Allah mentions in the Quran, when the judgment has been concluded, he will say, indeed, Allah had promised you a truthful promise. You received a truthful promise from Allah. And I promised you also, but I betrayed you. My promise was a lie. I had no authority over you, except all that I did was I called you, I invited you, and you responded to me. I had no power over you. All I could do was entice you, and you responded. فَلَا تَلُومُنِي Do not blame me. Lumu anfusakum, blame yourselves. Today I cannot be called to your aid, nor can you be called to my aid. So none of us, we can assist each other, every man for himself. So this statement Iblis will make to all those who followed him, and as they followed him in the dunya, may Allah protect us, they will follow him into Jahannam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here in Surah Yasin, let us not be of those that will stand and Allah will say to us, why did you follow the same Iblis that misled your parents? Did I not warn you? And so this is something which Allah says we should not do. We should not follow Iblis. And then in the next ayah, verse number 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنِعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطُ مُسْتَقِيمٍ So Allah tells us, now this is what you are supposed to do. أَنِعْبُدُونِي Worship me, be enslaved, devote yourself to me. هَذَا صِرَاطُ مُسْتَقِيمٍ That this is the straight, clear path of guidance. So in the previous verse, as we said, Allah is telling us we should not worship and follow and devote ourselves to Iblis and listen to him. Rather, it is to Allah that we should devote ourselves. And Allah wants from us that we should have a relationship with him, to live a life that is pleasing to Allah. This is really, in summary, the purpose of our life. The Quran is very clear. You don't have to look around and try and figure out. Allah has made this a very simple task. You're put on the earth for a few years. You'll be tested with blessings, with hardship. At the end of the day, the purpose of life is to devote yourself to Allah, to worship him, the ritualistic worship, and of course living a life that is in accordance with what he wants us to do, to walk on that straight path of the prophets of Allah, and then at the end you will find yourself in that Jannah, may Allah grant it for us. And so When we ask, Ya Allah, how do I know if I am living a life in your worship? Am I a devoted follower in the way that you wish? Remember, and again, Allah has mentioned, this is the second time Allah is speaking about the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. At the beginning of the surah, Allah says, Ala Sirat al-Mustaqim. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are upon that straight path. So if you want to measure, if I want to gauge myself, am I living a righteous life? Compare it to that of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do I live compared to him? How much of my life is in accordance with his life? That is really the test for us, to emulate the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as best as we can. And subhanAllah, you know, our lives have been tossed upside down with this COVID-19. May Allah protect us. But it is also an opportunity for us to reflect. What is it that I am worshipping? What is it that I am devoted to? What are my priorities in life? If I continue on my current course, if my life does not change, I go back to work and I focus on the things that were important to me before, what will be the natural conclusion? A good way of understanding what you are devoted to is, how do you spend your time? How much is it for Allah? How much is it for something which is for fun or amusement? How much is it for making money? What is the thing that I'm devoting my time to? What are my ultimate goals and objectives? How would these change if I knew I only had, you know, a year? If I got one, Allah protect us, a diagnosis, you only have a year left. Would your life change dramatically? These kind of questions tell you about what it is that you are devoted to. And one of the tricks of Shaitan is that he makes us live a life unaware. Many people don't actively choose to disobey Allah, or actively choose to follow Shaitan. We just go with the flow, we get stuck in the rat race, and so before we know it, the years roll by, and before we know it, we are at our, 60, 70, and now we look at our life, what have I really achieved? And subhanAllah, some people don't even get that opportunity. They only wake up on the day they pass away. So now, in a way, this new reality that we find ourselves in is an opportunity to reflect on what is important. Where am I going? Why am I here? SubhanAllah, there are some people that, they have no focus beyond this life. They've never thought about spirituality. They have never even thought about, is there a creator? What's going to happen? You know, it's one thing to even deny the creator, but it's another thing to never even think about it. We just go with emotions. So everything that I do is simply, I'm on a conveyor belt and that is my life. And that is such a sad thing, that when you wake up in the day of Qiyamah, or when your ruh is being pulled, and you realize, I never even took my life seriously. I just did things simply for the sake of doing things. And that is really the sad thing. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is a very scary ayah, وَلَقَدَ أَدَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah says, and he, Iblis, meaning Iblis, he has led astray a great number from amongst you. Many, many people, many generations of people had fallen for the tricks of Shaitan. So did you not use your reasoning? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Have you not used your aql, your mind? And so Allah is saying that a lot of people, in fact, we know the majority of mankind will fall for the tricks of Shaitan. And therefore, we should not feel safe. We should not feel that I'm secure. Many people don't realize it until it's too late. I don't realize it. None of us would. Just take it like for comfortably, I'm on the straight path. You should assess your priorities and your life. And then Allah also says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Use your reasoning and your intellect, that Allah has given us the tools to know what is right and what is wrong. And many times people talk about faith as being something blind. Islam tells you, in fact, it is the people that don't think and don't reason and don't use their logic. They are the ones that are misled and easily fall for the traps of Shaitan. We are meant to think and think deeply. And so we take this moment and this opportunity. Am I on the straight path? Am I okay? Is my akhirah secure? We will never know that until we pass away, but it is for us to constantly analyze. And so Allah wants us to think about what is important. And now, unfortunately, this is the conclusion for one who did not think, who did not listen, who did not take to heart the reminder of those who are misled. Allah says to them, هذه جهنم. This is جهنم. Meaning جهنم is brought very close, and they get to see the terror of جهنم. التي كنتم توعدون. The جهنم that you were promised. This is what the Anbiya and the Quran, we promised you that this is the place it's going to come. And now you see it. اسلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون. Enter it or burn therein today what you used to do. The word today is used multiple times here. Allah say, burn now in it today, as if they say, now this is what you're going to do. So very interestingly, the person that denied the existence of Jahannam, they will get it. And the person who affirmed the existence of Jahannam in the world, he will be saved from it. The person that lived his life on this world afraid of Jahannam, he will be averted from it. And the person who did never ever worried about a place like Jahannam, never thought about it, never was considered, could I possibly go there? He's the one, may Allah protect us, who will go there. The name Jahannam comes from the Persian word Jahannam, which means a torture chamber. And it is the most horrible place, and it is the worst calamity that anyone can befall. May Allah protect us. And Allah uses the word Bima. So we will talk, inshallah, tomorrow about some of the punishments of Jahannam. It's important for us to remember Jahannam and think about it. And as bad as it is, Allah says, Bima, this is for what you used to do. Meaning no one is wronged and no one is cheated. This is only a consequence of what we had done. No person will have a claim against Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will use, as that beautiful statement of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is more reluctant to place anyone in Jahannam than even a mother is to place her own kids. That our own mothers would not put us in Jahannam. So Allah is even more merciful than that. So anyone who ends up in Jahannam, truly he deserves it. May Allah protect us. May Allah save us. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll talk more about Jahannam specifically, because in these days, in these evenings of Ramadan, is the ultimate opportunity to be freed from the fires of Jahannam, to be saved from it. And so we should know about it, and this should encourage us even more. Before I conclude, inshallah, just a word on our quiz. So alhamdulillah, we have nightly quizzes that's attached to our lectures. And every week, we start the scorecards of the weekend on Friday, and alhamdulillah, there are some of you that week 2 did very well, and we will release the top 5 or the top 10, I think, and inshallah there will be prizes when things go back to normal. So I see between week 1 and 2 there was a drop in the numbers doing the quiz. It could be that you felt, oh, I'm falling behind, and so there's no point in continuing. Rather, the quiz begins anew. So week 3 starts inshallah this evening, and you have 24 hours to answer it, and inshallah make the most of it, and you can do well at the end of week 3 and get that prize. And then we also will have an overall winner. So we invite you all to take the quiz and to share the quiz. It's nice and interesting, and see how much you know of Islamic knowledge. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.